What's going on?
Getting ready for some winter weather.
Oh. Well, that's exciting.
Could be snow, could be ice, could be sleet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or all of the above.
Yeah.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, hoping for the best. Prepared for the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To become a prepper?
No.
No. You know, maybe they had a point. Maybe we should have stocked up on MREs.
Well, I think it's TBS has Big Bang Theory on in the afternoons for like 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
And most of their commercials are for preppers. And the company is called Patriot something or other. It's like you can buy like MREs and you can buy like solar recharging generators, and it's like, interesting.
I wonder what the Venn diagram is of Big Bang Theory watchers and preppers. I really would, that would be fascinating to know.
I can't imagine it's all that big, I would think. Why?
I mean,
they have to think. Preppers don't want to think.
Well, I mean, working in a field that makes television commercials, like, it's very thought out of what audience that you are spending your ad spend on. So I would assume that there's some research,
right,
that points to the fact that in the afternoon, there are people that are considered preppers watching the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
It's the Judge Judy crowd.
Did Big Bang Theory take over for Jerry Springer at some point? Like
I don't
time
think
slot
so.
Wise? Because that's who I would think the preppers would be.
Right.
But I don't know.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of prepping, we have a winter storm coming to South Carolina, so everybody's up in arms here, because it only snows once about every 10 years. And
oh, well, this is it.
It snowed about 5 years ago, so everybody's really panicked that it's not a once in every 10 year thing. And I went grocery shopping this morning because it's Sunday and I always go on Sundays. And anybody in South Carolina who is bitching about the price of eggs has some explaining to do, because there were no eggs this morning. So,
right.
I guess the old adage of you get eggs and milk and bread for the big snowstorm still holds true no matter how expensive the fucking eggs are.
Right.
Because the price tags are still saying like $6, but the shelves are empty. So I don't know. I couldn't tell you the last time I bought a dozen eggs, though.
No. It's been a while for me.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're good for you and they're full of protein and all that shit, but like, it's a little ridiculous to have it as expensive as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll be getting an email here shortly about them canceling not canceling school, but making it an e-learning day, because that's what they do here. Because every kid is fitted with a laptop. And so a school like sanctioned laptop. And then they get like classes on their laptops that, you know, they have to do all this work for whatever to have credit for like showing up that day. So there'll probably be a couple of days of that, which means I don't have to sit in line to go pick her up, which is fine. I got into an argument with a lady the other day.
Really? You?
I know. So I don't know if I've told you about the weirdness of my kid's high school, but she only has 4 classes a day.
Okay.
The semesters are split up. The last semester she had 4 classes, and this semester she has 4 classes, 4 different classes. Everything is only a half a year, but her classes are also like 2.5 hours every day.
Oh, Jesus.
So they're doing twice the work in a day, but they're only doing it for half the year. So instead of, you know, 8 subjects of homework, you only have 4, which I guess is better in the long run. I don't know.
Okay.
So last semester, her classroom where she got out of her last period, it was further away than it is now. And because the idiots driving in South Carolina, and especially the student drivers, don't want to let anybody in, I have now,
right,
I'm towards the front of the line, and there are two lanes where you can pick up the kids in the afternoon. There's an inner lane and an outer lane. I'm always in the outer lane, and I happen to be the first car. And when you pick up your kid, if you're signing your kid out from school, you have to go into the office to sign them out, and you're supposed to park in the parking lot. But all of these idiots park in front of the school and then don't know how to get out. So I'm sitting there on Friday and my windows are down because it's not cold, but it's not warm. It's just like, it's nice enough to have the windows down. And I'm sitting there and I'm on my phone and I hear honking, and I look in my rearview mirror and there's this woman who's telling me to move. And I'm like, I'm not moving. I'm in the spot where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And so I said out loud, I was like, where the fuck am I supposed to go? And to hear somebody in the car next to me is like, they do this every single day. Nobody knows where to go. I was like, I know, right? And in the time that conversation happened, this woman got out of her car and walked up to my car and said, you need to move so I can get out. And I was like, and I'm thinking to myself, please would be nice. And I wasn't having a great day at work. So I turned to her and I said, this isn't the way out. And she goes, excuse me. I said, you could have gone the other way. And the lanes are all blocked by these yellow gates. And I said, the yellow gates open. You could have just opened them and drove through there. And like, now she's looking at me like I've just called her a bitch. And I'm like, you started this. And she, I said, I'll move, but you need to know where the exit is for next time. And she goes, this is my first fucking time. And I was like, oh, it shows, but you're still not right. And I started the car and I drove away from her. And then like, I pulled around to where that I could then back up in them where I was. And she's like screaming at me through the car window. And I was like, have a nice day. And then I backed up.
Oh, I love people.
People are the worst.
Yes, they are. Yes, they freaking are.
I mean, it's not that hard. Like there's a sign that's like no parking in front of the school during these hours. And they all fucking park there. It's like, not my problem. I should have been like, no, I'm not going to move. What are you going to do about it? I'll go get the police officer. Go ahead. He's going to tell you the same fucking thing. This is not the way out.
Right. Dear God.
Yeah. So my kid gets in the car and I tell her the story and she's like mortified. She's like, oh my God, you're so embarrassing. It's like, I know.
Jeez, Dad.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it's like. So, yeah. It's been a fun week.
Yeah.
So if there's a couple of days here where I don't have to like pick her up from school, that's fine.
Nice.
Yeah. So what you been up to?
Oh, you know, stuff.
Okay.
I made the mistake of running some errands this morning.
Yeah.
Thinking it's like, I'm out of the house before 10 in the morning. I should be able to get this shit done and get out. Well, I went to my local Home Goods Marshalls hybrid store.
Yeah.
And I found a shirt that I wanted. So I go to get in line, and there the line is longer than it needs to be. There is a total of 4 registers open. There are 2 people behind the counter just doing busy work, you know, putting tags on stuff and moving returns to other shelves and shit like that.
Right.
There's a family who speaks no English and apparently don't understand how you pay for things in this country who are spread out among 3 of the registers next to each other. And there are 4 people there trying to help them. And they were there for like 10, 15 minutes. And I was like, all right, I'm in the middle of this line. Do I just say, fuck it, and walk away? It's like, no, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait. So I get up to, and the whole time there's like these millennial useless pieces of shit who are cashiers.
Yeah.
And there's one girl who's just kind of standing there looking around. She hasn't turned on her little light. She's not helping guests check out. She's just kind of spacey. There's one guy who takes a good 5 or 6 minutes per guest to get them out of there. And then in between, he has to like reset his station. So he's got to go get more bags and he's got to move the returns. And I was just getting so fucking pissed. I wanted to like yell at somebody.
I'm surprised.
Because at one
point
somebody came from the back, and it was probably a manager who then didn't bother to say, hey, I'm going to hop on a register to take care of this line.
Right.
So I finally get up to the cashier. And she goes, how are you doing? I said, well, better now that I made it to the front. And she looks me dead in the eyes, goes, oh, is the line long?
Oh, my God.
It's like, are you fucking clueless? And then she tried to charge me double for the shirt I was buying. I said, no, that's not right. Said, oh, well, I rang it in. I said, well, you must have rung it in twice because I'm not paying that. And, you know, it became another little interaction. It's like, just fucking take my money. That's all I want. All I want.
Just trying to
and
give you money.
A woman was there. Another woman was there. One of the ones who was like doing busy work behind the counters. And she goes, it's like this every day. We are the busiest Home Goods in the country because of all the foreigners who come to visit us.
What?
It's like, well, I think that maybe you need more than 4 goddamn cashiers on duty.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, at Christmas time, and line was wrapped around the store.
Yeah,
and
no
that's
shit.
Acceptable? Oh my God, if I was manager there, I'd be screaming at these people.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my morning. Blood pressure through the roof. But anyway, I'm home now.
Sounds like a trip to Hobby Lobby. Every time I go in the Hobby Lobby, there's like one cashier and the line's like halfway through the building. And it's like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, because everybody else is out back reading the Bible.
Well, have we ever talked about like the Hobby Lobby thing? Have you like you've gone in and bought stuff
Which
at Hobby Lobby right?
Thing? Huh?
You've bought stuff at Hobby Lobby, right?
Very rarely.
Okay, so yeah. So they have to key everything in by hand.
Yes.
And the reason is because they're big and religious that there is some thing about barcodes being the mark of Satan.
What?
That they refuse to automate any of it. So the lines are real long and slow because, you know, these people don't know the prices of everything in the fucking store. And instead of, you know, taking a barcode and hitting the back of it, they have to key it all in by hand.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I actually went to Hobby Lobby yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I needed some balsa wood.
Yeah.
So I got what I needed. I'm in the row. I'm walking away. And I hear somebody behind me say, "Excuse me." And it's a woman standing there with a clipboard. And the first thing she says after, you know, saying hi was, "I'm deaf." And she pushes the clipboard at me, and it's something about we're trying to raise money to send kids to a basketball conference or something, and every little bit helps. And I'm like, you're fucking panhandling in somebody's store? I mean, it's bad enough when they're in front of the goddamn stores.
Right.
But you're walking around the store asking people for money.
Right.
And I wanted to say something on my way out, but I thought better of it. But yeah, I go to Hobby Lobby very rarely because everything in there is twice as expensive as it is at like Michael's. But yeah. Once in a while they have, you know, decent sale. It's like, oh, all furniture is 30% off. Well, yeah, but it's still 100% markup.
Yeah. The only reason I really go to Hobby Lobby anymore is because they're the only ones around here that sell like specific airbrush paint. And so, okay. So like I can't get it at Michael's. It's, you know, if I need it, like if I'm painting something and I can get the color, I'll go there instead of having to like order it online or whatever. Because Amazon is very selective in what color paints they have.
And
so,
really?
Yeah. So, and a lot of times it's coming from the manufacturer and you have to pay shipping and it's never like 2 day, which is always weird.
Okay.
So sometimes it's just easier to go to Hobby Lobby if they have the color that I need. But then, you know, it's, oh, we're going to Hobby Lobby. That means it's going to be a fucking 4 hour trip because an hour and a half of that's going to be spent waiting to check out.
Right.
Because for some reason, you know, we don't believe in any of that shit.
Oh, yeah. So what else has been going on?
Oh, not too much. Isn't that enough?
No.
Isn't my life shitty enough?
Oh, just wait until tomorrow afternoon.
No, I'm not watching anything on TV. I'm just going to ignore
it. Oh, I don't plan on it. I don't watch the news anymore. No. I can't. I used to get up in the morning, have my coffee, and watch the local news. And it's like, I just can't do it. Can't do it.
Calling it the ignore and even duration.
Yeah. Scary times.
Yeah. So have you watched anything this week?
I have.
Yeah, what'd you watch?
So we had our big finale of Skeleton Crew.
We did.
And it was, I thought it was pretty good. They spent a shitload of money on effects for that episode.
It was a very decent finale for what's probably the last episode of the series.
Yes.
It resolved everything. It was action-packed. They didn't try to lead you to believe that there was going to be anything after this. Like it was a very compact way of storytelling. Like, and I don't know how much of that comes from, like, we don't know if you're getting a second season, so don't write in any cliffhangers.
Right.
Or what, but you know, it's a very Star Wars-esque ending of like, good guys arrive, planet saved, bad guys are dead.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know. The friends are okay. And okay. But yeah, I enjoyed this show more than I expected to.
Yeah.
You know, going into this, I didn't think it was going to be for me. And I kept being like, when I saw trailers, I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for Goonies in space. I'm not sure if, you know, obviously it's not meant for me. But will I still be able to enjoy it as a Star Wars fan? And the answer is yes, you can. If you're not, you know, if you're not expecting the lore to be followed and built upon, and you just take it for what it is, it's a story about these group of kids. And yeah, I mean, it's very enjoyable.
Yeah. It's a side quest.
Yeah. Yep. You know, we didn't, my worry was that when the kids call the owl woman for help, that, you know, the X-Wing would have been Luke or somebody that we knew. Carson Teva, because he's apparently the only type X-Wing pilot that there is. And, you know, X-Wings and B-Wings show up and you never see the pilots, or if you see the pilots, it's nobody that you know. And I was like, all right, good. Like, we don't have to tie it to the group of people that we know. And whether or not that was the Tantive at the very end or a ship that looked just like it, that's fine. But like, we didn't have to have like Leia coming down the landing ramp.
Right.
Like, Ed Atten has been discovered. Whatever happens with all those credits is fine. Like, cool.
Right.
But I mean, they definitely, I feel like in the pantheon of Star Wars TV shows, I do feel like they stuck the landing for once.
Yeah. I mean, it was entertaining. And, you know, that's really all you should expect.
Yeah, it's something that, like, you can watch with your kids. It's something that kind of talks to, like, Star Wars fans. Like original Star Wars fans, and like them reaching out for today's kids. I really do feel like they kind of knocked it out of the park. So good for them. It's just sad that I'll probably won't get a sequel.
Yeah.
But I mean, what are you going to do? What happens when Star Wars fans won't support Star Wars?
Yeah. I'm waiting for them to now tear apart the new Daredevil.
So did you see the new trailer?
I did. That was pretty brutal.
It's...
But I'm confused on the timeline.
Because of Echo?
Well, because of the because they're Fisk and Daredevil are having lunch,
right?
And looks like there's been some kind of reconciliation since he beat the shit out of him, and
right.
And now Fisk is running for mayor.
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, it's really frightening how so many of these sci-fi superhero genre plot lines are becoming more and more real.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so maybe this is a glitch in the Matrix. Maybe that's what happened. The Matrix suddenly got internet and it's watching all these movies and it's creating this new world order.
I don't know. I will say, like, there was all those reports that, like, they had to go back and reshoot 90% of it, that they saw what they had and they didn't think it was a good story, so that they were allowing them to do, to go back and fill in what they wanted to fill in or whatever. And I took that as they were going to Disney-fy Daredevil, that
right,
what they had gotten was too violent. And Disney was like, we can't put this on. You guys have to, like, water this shit down. Like, you know who's, like, it's kids that are going to be watching this, so you need to make it for kids. And it's the exact opposite. It is very much, they took the spirit of the Netflix TV shows, which were brutal on their own, and were just like, we're just going to keep doing this. And I guess it's a testament to Marvel and Disney of, you know, they let Daredevil be Daredevil, or not Daredevil. They let Deadpool be Deadpool. So why not mm-hmm. let these characters stay true to what you've seen before? And, you know, they tried to do that when they watered down Matt Murdock for the She-Hulk series. And I was like, oh, this is going to suck. You know, it's all about him flirting with She-Hulk and stuff. And but it seems like they've gone back the other way, so.
Yeah, I mean, if they stick with it, if this wasn't a barometer check to see what kind of response they would get from being at that level of violence, yeah, I think it's going to be a good reboot.
I mean, you can't water down the Punisher. There's just no way to do it.
Right.
And, like, you can say that, you know, there's allusions in the trailer of Matt not being Daredevil for a while because of what happened in the last Netflix season with Bullseye and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, if you wanted to, you could water down Daredevil to the point where he's having a conscience of, you know, ability or whatever, and he's not as violent as he used to be. But if you start dragging the Punisher into it, there's no way to cut that down and be like, oh, the Punisher is now, like, handing out candy instead of, you know, killing people. It's just not his character. Right. And I don't think John Bernthal would come back if it was watered down like that.
Right.
So,
yeah, I'm getting a little excited for it.
Yeah. Seems like it might be a decent TV show.
We can hope.
Which is good, because, you know, Marvel and Star Wars have not had the greatest track record in the last couple of years for TV shows.
Right.
And it seems like they might be getting out of that, which is good. Because for as much as, well, I like hopefully. Skeleton Crew, we still have Andor Season 2 coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the real money is.
Let's see. I also started watching Creature Commandos.
Okay.
I'm only like 3 episodes in, but I really like it.
I hear it's really good.
It's really good. It's got this funky Eurobeat soundtrack. I really don't know how to explain it. It's very bizarre, but it's also very catchy.
Okay.
I like the way the characters are introduced. You know, you've got the bride of Frankenstein.
Right.
You've got David Harbour as Frankenstein's monster. You've got Alan Tudyk as Dr. Phosphorus. There's a sea creature woman kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of a feral, I don't know, wolf, cat thing, animal. But I mean, I really like the way they're going with this. And, you know, there's five episodes left, so it's not going to be that long. But I like the animation. I like the stories. It's right up there with What If, I would say.
And it's basically like those types of like horror creatures going on missions, right?
Right. It's the replacement for the Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Because the government tells Viola Davis's character, what's it, Walker?
Amanda Waller.
Waller. Yeah. That they can't use people anymore for these suicide missions. It's like, well, these aren't exactly people. But I mean, I really like it. I really like it. At one point, they go, their first mission is to protect this imaginary European country, and it ends up being the same place where the bride was built.
Okay.
So she goes and she seeks out the mansion where Dr. Frankenstein built her, and there's a woman living in the shack on the grounds, and she makes a phone call, and it's Frankenstein's monster because he's been waiting for her the whole time. And she there's this whole through history montage where she just keeps rejecting him. It's very funny.
Okay.
I mean, it's really well done so far.
Okay.
I watched something on your recommendation.
Yeah, which was?
I'm through the first season of Silo.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, what do you think?
It's very Lost meets Fallout.
It definitely has a Fallout vibe to it.
I got really confused towards the end because I thought they were building that everything outside was actually filmed footage to make them think that they have to stay inside.
Right.
And then when the camera pans back and Juliet's walking and she's just, there are all of these silos out there.
Yep. That gets more explained in season two.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically the gist of it is, the point of control for the people not leaving is the fact mm-hmm. that the outside is basically a wasteland.
Okay.
And the only way that they can get the camera clean is for somebody to go out and clean it.
Right.
And the reason that the helmets show them a paradise is so that they turn around and they're like, you need to see this. Like, you need to see what I'm seeing. And in the hopes that they would come out, but what they're really seeing is what it really looks like outside. So it's kind of a weird control for the people inside that are in charge to keep the people in the silo in line.
Right.
But yeah, then there's the big reveal that there are multiple silos. And once you find out, like, because I don't want to give anything away for you. The next season will explore another silo.
Oh, okay.
So there's two stories going on, the silo that we know and the new silo, simultaneously. Okay. So.
Okay.
But I think like Rebecca Ferguson and Oh, what's his name? The guy from Shawshank. The guy that plays like the mayor.
Oh, Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins. I think they're both really good in their roles. Tim Robbins plays a really good slimy guy.
Yes, he does.
I can give or take 50 Cent. Not 50 Cent. Common. Sorry. Common comes off sometimes where I'm like, he's just reading off a paper. And then sometimes it's like, okay, now he's acting.
Right.
But that core cast and the cast, the what do they call them? The down belows? The people that are keeping the silo running, they have even mm-hmm. more of a story in season two.
Okay.
So season two just ended, so they should all be streaming now.
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah.
But are the sheriff and his wife really dead?
Yes. Because one of the other things, there's an answer in the beginning of season two.
Okay.
But they are dead.
Okay. And is Juliet in season two?
Yes.
Okay.
But I mean, overall, do you like the series? Or is it too much?
I do like the series.
Okay.
No, I do like the series, but I keep seeing all these parallels. It's like, oh, that it's a trope now.
Yeah, probably. And this is, I guess this was based on a book series. And from what I've read, the book series, the TV show is better than the book series because in the books, the characters don't really have backgrounds.
Okay.
And the writers of the show actually took it upon themselves to make backgrounds for everybody and like flesh them out as characters.
Oh, okay.
So while the books give more definition into what's on each floor of the silo and how there's farms every so often and how recycling works and all that stuff, they only touch upon that in the TV show in order to get to the actual character development.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, cool. I also started watching Dune Prophecy.
Okay. And how do you feel about that?
It's so ponderous. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I kept like checking the time on the stream and it's like, what? It's only been 15 minutes?
Yep. It's very much the way that the two Dune films feel for me.
Yeah.
They just seem to go on forever. And it's just like, I just want some story. And it just never feels that way.
Right.
And I like the world of Dune. It's just, goddamn, man. Like, get to the point.
Yeah, exactly.
How far?
I mean, it does basically explain the Bene Gesserit in that first episode.
Yeah.
You know, but, and I mean, I loved the wedding to the 11-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, how far into it are you?
Oh, I just watched the first episode.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it does get... I don't want to say it gets better. It becomes a more interesting story as it goes on.
Okay.
It felt like in the first episode they needed to kind of give you a refresher about who everybody was.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like a 10,000 years or 1,000 years before Paul Atreides
right
is born, so like you don't know any of these people. And, you know, they have to explain to you why there's no, like computers that, you know, people are using. And there's some stuff in there where, that they go into later where you're like, that could have been told in a different way.
Mm.
But yeah. Are you going to finish Doom Prophecy, or are you going to leave
it? Yeah, probably, unless something better happens. We'll see.
I watched the Walking Dead mini series with Rick and Michonne.
Oh yeah.
God, what a waste of 6 hours that was.
Oh really?
Yeah, I mean, anything that you really liked about Rick, they kind of neutered him in this.
Okay.
And I mean, do you have any plans to watch it?
Probably not.
Okay.
I mean, I've kind of given up on that.
So last time you see Rick in the TV show, he's being helicoptered off.
Right.
With the wacky chick from the garbage pile.
Right.
And what you come to find out is that Rick spends 6 years as like a slave. And he's trying everything to escape, and he like cuts his hand off at one point.
Oof.
And, you know, they keep like, he's trying to commit suicide at one point, and he's like, I can't do it. And, then he finds out that the guy that's keeping him enslaved wants him to be an officer in the military that they're in.
Okay.
And he decides that if he can change the whatever the organization is called, he can save the world. Mm. And I'm like, that's completely different than the last 30 minutes of him trying to escape. Like, there's no motivation for that at all. And then he gets reunited with Michonne, and he's like, go away. I don't want to, like, I'm not coming back. I'm doing right. this instead. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, she is the audience at that point. It's like, all you're trying to do is get back to your kid. And now all of a sudden you don't want to do it anymore. And it's just so convoluted. I was like, we waited like 6 years for this. Like, it was just so bad. I'm glad that they didn't do it as a movie, because it really would have been fucked up.
Hmm. Yeah, I've got no interest in seeing
okay.
any more of that.
And like, Terry O'Quinn's in it from Lost. And I was like, he's in the first episode, and I'm like, all right, cool. At least he's a good actor. I like watching him. He doesn't show up again until the sixth episode. And I'm like, really? Like, you're cutting out the best part of the fucking show? Okay.
Right.
And not knocking the actress, but one of the other main actresses is like, I guess from South Africa, but she has okay. a really heavy South African accent, and she does okay. these long passages of dialogue where I'm like, what is she saying? Where like, I'm getting every like third word, and I'm like, I guess I'm just going to go off of like Rick's reaction, because I don't know what she's saying. But it's bad. I mean, I watched the Daryl one in Europe because I wanted to see how different it would be. And like, they hired French actors. They did a lot of like subtitles. Like, they okay. let them act in French, which I, you know, cool. I'm all for it. I'm not one of those people that are like, oh, I can't do this because of subtitles. Like, I'll read a subtitle. I don't care. But the end, like, you know, if you come to find out that Daryl's grandfather fought in World War II, and that he dies in France in World War II during D-Day.
Okay.
Daryl's father, because he doesn't have a father figure, doesn't know how to be a father to him and Merle. And so he's been abusive because of that. And, you know, Daryl's trying to break that cycle. And then at the end, Daryl just happens to find, as he gets to the coast, he happens to find the graveyard of all the American soldiers who died on D-Day, and just happens to find his grandfather. And I'm like, fucking come on. Like, really? Please. So, oh, man. It's not good.
No. Well, no. Good. Glad I gave up on that.
Yeah.
I just want a tidy ending at this point.
There's never going to be a tidy ending. Because as long as they can make money off of it, it's never going to stop.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
My fascination with Asian TV shows about death continued this week.
Oh.
There is a Japanese show on Amazon, not Amazon, on Netflix called Alice in Borderland.
Oh yeah, okay.
And it's about these three guys, these three friends that are like not doing very well in life, get magically transported to a version of Tokyo that doesn't have anybody in it, and they're forced to play these like death games with like other people that gets transported there. It's very interesting. It's not Squid Game level, but it's close.
Okay.
So there's a lot of violence. There's a lot of blood.
Hmm.
But like there's the first game that they play is life or death. And so they go in this room and there's two doors. There's one with a life logo on it and one with a death logo on it. And you have to figure out which door is the correct door so that you don't die.
Okay.
And there's this, you know, they meet this girl at this game and she goes running through the door. She's like, it's life. It's supposed to be life. And then she gets like shot through the top of the head.
Ooh.
And just like falls down dead. And like the effect is very interesting because like, You come to find out that who's ever controlling the game can instantly kill you with like a laser beam, and like a red light shows up on top of your head. And then all of a sudden like a laser pulse goes through your head. And like, they have this interesting effect where like the eyes roll back and like they're bloodshot. Uh-huh. And like, there's a hole at the top of their head and a hole at the bottom of their chin. And they're just kind of laying there with their eyes open. It's really disturbing, but it's fascinating. There's this weird culture of all like, I guess that's a big thing in Asia of like these deadly game show type TV shows.
Wow. That's weird.
Yeah. It's fun though. I mean, that's what America's going to become. So get ready.
Yeah. Hunger Games.
Yeah. I think we're too old to participate, though, in the Hunger Games.
Well, I guess that says something.
Good for being old, I guess.
Yes. As long as it's not a Logan's Run situation.
with the crystals beeping in your hand?
Yes.
But he survives that movie, doesn't he?
I think he does.
Yeah. It's all good.
We did have a celebrity death this week.
We did.
Talk about.
We did. Speaking of Dune.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, David Lynch.
We blew our segue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The director of the original Dune in 1984? Was that in 84?
Yeah.
Also Twin Peaks and like if there was
Elephant Man,
if there was a weird movie, chances are David Lynch directed it.
Eraserhead, Blue mm-hmm. Velvet.
And apparently he had been working on something that he said was going to be his last project and never got to see it finished.
Well, AI could finish it for him.
Oh, no, they can't.
No? All right.
I mean, I guess it could because, I mean, prolific directors have been known to stumble from their prolificness and produce garbage at the end of their career. So who knows? I mean, AI could do that just as easily, I guess.
Right. Did you know that he made a G movie for Disney?
Did he?
He made a movie called The Straight Story.
Okay.
And it was about a guy setting out across the country to reconcile with his brother riding on a tractor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Very, I don't want to say it was weird, but, you know, I mean, obviously it's a weird movie. Hey, I'm going to go see my brother. I'm taking the tractor. Don't wait up.
I mean, one thing that I do appreciate about David Lynch was he was the guy that just wanted to tell us stories. And so if you look at his IMDb, there's a lot of short films on there. There's a lot of just videos. Mm-hmm. There's music videos. Like, he just wanted to be behind the camera and bringing his vision out to whatever he was working on.
Oh, definitely.
And I think there a lot of that gets lost these days with, like, you know, I'm a movie director, or, you know, David Lynch was just a director. He didn't care what he was doing.
Right.
And, you know, I appreciate that a lot because, you know, that's just his thing. That's just what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch Twin Peaks?
I never got through the whole thing.
I think I did, except for the movie. It was really surreal. I mean, there's the log lady. There was the dwarf who kept appearing in his dreams, only talking backwards.
Right.
There's a lot about pie.
I mean, he was definitely marching to his own drummer.
He was
a director, which is good. I mean, it just wasn't by the numbers.
Right.
I guess he died of emphysema.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
We'll never know his last
nope.
production.
But I mean, there has been some oddball shit, you know, that's come out recently, so maybe they could get AI to fill in the blanks for him, do like a tribute.
Well, and
to
I kind of think he'd be into that.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if you saw Megalopolis.
No, I couldn't. Isn't that the one that started as a commercial during? Oh, what was it? Was it like during the Macy's parade or something?
I don't know.
Because it was the Coppola movie with Adam Driver, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there was like some weird commercial that tied into it before anybody knew what it was.
So the guys from Corridor Digital on YouTube do their like visual effects artists react to series. And the one yesterday was for Megalopolis.
Okay.
And apparently Francis Ford Coppola walked in and fired the entire effects crew, like before they started shooting.
Okay.
And then had his nephew do it. And it shows, like, some of the stuff that they show, it's like, what the fuck are they doing, man? Like if I turned in green screen work like that to my boss, I'd get yelled at for it. And, you know, things don't move right. And like, you can tell that, like, there's a scene where this woman is standing on an obvious green screen and then it rains and it's only this little round spot of rain over her. It's bad. I was like, what the fuck am I watching?
Huh.
But apparently Adam Driver is a dude called Caesar and it's like New Rome and they're building this new city and it's just like, wow, okay. I don't know what Francis Ford Coppola was smoking when he like came up with that, but Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's weird. Well, speaking of directors who basically go downhill.
Yeah. Who?
Wow, that's really weird.
What?
Just the idea that he like gave the work to his nephew and it turned out to be a piece of shit.
Well, and it's supposedly his nephew has worked on like Marvel films, but there comes a point where you can't do it by yourself. There's very few effects people that could handle a volume of work where like everything is a visual effect. So, you know, I don't want to like say that like this dude fucked it all up. I just don't think that he was given the support he was needed.
Right.
And, you know, somebody in Francis Ford Coppola's position should know that. And he was the one who did Dracula, right? With Gary Oldman. That was a
Coppola.
Yeah, Francis Ford Coppola. He did the same thing on that. He fired the effects crew like while they were making it. And so like all the real wacky, like where the dude's in the train and you can see the eyes in the horizon and stuff, like that was all done last minute, like on a shoestring budget because they just didn't have it and they didn't have the people to do it. Like he's got this weird thing of like, I guess he doesn't trust the effects crew, but that's who's going to make your film.
Right.
Especially for something like Dracula or Megalopolis. Aubrey Plaza plays a character named Wow.
Wow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and one of the things that they showed, you're going to love this. One of the clips that they showed is John Voight's in it. Now, I'm not a big fan of John Voight, but whatever. And he's lying in bed. And Aubrey Plaza and somebody else comes into the room. It might be Shia LaBeouf. And John Voight's laying in the bed and he goes, "Look at the size of my boner." And he's got something under the covers that's sticking up. And he was like, "Even though I'm old, I'm better than you." And he pulls it away and it's a bow and arrow. And they do a close up of the arrow and there's, you know, those old TV commercials where they would do like a little light ting at the top of whatever. Yes. They do one of those and it like dings. And then he takes the arrow and he kills Aubrey Plaza with it. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's really bad. Like, it almost should be one of those that like you watch to laugh at. But it's also 2 hours and 18 minutes and he's not getting that much of my life.
That is the good thing about living in the world today. It's like, if you're watching something, you can fast forward through the thing, hope it gets better. And if it doesn't, then you can turn it off.
Yep. Or you can see something that's like, don't waste your time.
Right.
But I mean, it's got a decent cast. Adam Driver, Giancarlo Esposito, Shia LaBeouf, mm-hmm. Aubrey Plaza, Lawrence Fishburne, Talia Shire. God, I can't talk. You know, James Remar, D.B. Sweeney. Like, it's not like it's a bunch of nobodies. I just can't imagine them being on set being like, what are we doing? This is okay. Okay, sure. And apparently this was like a passion project for Coppola.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Imagine working on something for years and then being produced and it's just fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the problem with passion projects. It's like you're the only one who wants to see this thing.
Yeah. Yep. That definitely won't be anything that I'm watching in full.
No?
No.
I thought you were a huge Shia LaBeouf fan.
I am, but I'm not a completist.
Well, that's good.
I mean, there's I'm sure there's Shia LaBeouf movies that I've never seen. I mean, I think the dude's an okay actor, but, you know. He was really good in Fury. But, I mean, there were other people in that film, so.
Yeah.
Did you watch anything else?
Not worth mentioning.
No. All right.
I watched the first SNL of 2025.
Yeah, and how was that?
It had to be one of the worst episodes I've ever seen.
Who was the host?
Dave Chappelle.
Oh, really?
And his monologue was like 20 minutes. And I don't know if it was running long or if he said something, but like right in the middle of it, it cut to a commercial and then came back to it.
And he was still talking in the middle?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was weird. And I'm not a big Chappelle fan. Yeah. I mean, I know he's got a following. Good for him.
Yeah.
But it was just a horrible episode. And the music act was Glorilla.
Oh.
And yeah, that's a talent there.
I don't even know who that is, to be quite honest.
It's a rapper. It's a female rapper.
Well, I figured.
I think she's a rapper. I fast forwarded through that shit so fast. But yeah, I think that's all I've watched.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't really watch anything else either.
Hasn't been much on.
No, you didn't watch the Night Court episode with Mayim Bialik?
Oh, well, I said there are things not worth talking about.
Oh. I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
It leaned into the fact that they were both on Big Bang.
Of course.
But Mayim Bialik turns out to be a stalker.
Oh. Okay.
But, yeah, it was... Yeah. They do the opening dance number from Blossom. That was the highlight.
That was the clip that I saw. And I was like, all right.
Yeah. And that was the best clip you could see.
So does she play Mayim Bialik in it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And at one point she's talking about what she's done since Blossom. And she's like, well, I was on the Big Bang Theory. It's like, oh, I don't remember you. I just remember the girl with the squeaky voice.
Ugh.
Ah, funny.
God.
Yeah.
Okay.
No bueno.
I'll be sure not to watch that then.
No. I mean, the Frasier reboot was better than this reboot.
And that got canceled.
And that got canceled. Well, they're shopping it elsewhere.
Yeah.
Which usually means it's dead.
Yeah. That's what happens.
But if Night Court wants to stick around, they need to focus on Larroquette and Wendy Malick, because they're the only ones worth watching in this.
I would assume that if they get picked up for another season, it's more that the fact that it's probably a really cheap show to produce.
Yeah, I could see that.
And, you know, they're not really worried about the contents or even the viewership. They just want something to air, and it's probably like dirt mm-hmm. cheap.
Right. Yeah. Sad.
Yeah.
So sad.
All right. Well, you got anything else for this week?
No.
No? All right.
No.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us at, pretty soon there might not be anywhere to follow us because of, you know, all the shit that's going on. But for now,
we'll have to meet this guy.
Yeah. But until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
If everyone likes me, I'm not doing my job.